Good morning. A fairly common attitude among young people today, high school age and college age students, is to feel almost invincible, like you're bulletproof. After all, you're young, you have resilience, more energy than I have. You have your whole life ahead of you, it would seem. Worrisome things like foreclosure on your house, learning that you have cancer, losing a spouse, these are not your problems. Not yet. Well, sooner or later, that day will come when some crisis, something painful and distressing enters your life. And when that time comes, you can be sure the devil will intrude into the situation with a disturbing suggestion. So you're suffering. There's the proof that God doesn't love you anymore. Or maybe it's something like this. You're suffering. God must be punishing you for something you did. Well, for that future event, or perhaps even now, if you are being bothered in some way with something that weighs on your mind and heart, let's begin thinking about now and understanding better right now what God tells us in Romans 8, beginning with verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The opening verse of the text I read starts off a bunch of reassurance for us. It happens to be one of my personal favorite sections in the Bible. If God is for us, and you should think He is, who can be against us? Now, maybe you're one of those people who thinks, I don't have any enemies, I get along with everybody. Well, make no mistake about it, we all in this room have at least one and the same very fierce and tenacious enemy. The devil is not your friend, though he tries to pretend to be. He is hell-bent on ruining us forever, on dragging you and me into the same place where he is destined to go. And it seems like he has a powerful weapon to use against us. The guilt of our sins. The undeniable fact that we have broken God's commandments so many times. Here's the conversation the devil wants to have with God and succeed at it. Hey, they're just as guilty as I am. They deserve the same condemnation that I'm getting. The devil wants to talk that way to God. Thankfully, he's not the only one in the conversation. Jesus has something to say about this. Something to say that is based decisively on what he did. I know you know the story. Please make it personal. The Lord stepped down for you. He stepped into your place. He took all of your sins on himself. He carried them to the cross, where he paid with his holy precious blood. He paid for every bad thought, every moment of inattention in chapel, every bad word, every false step, every failure, every kind of sin, every instance of sin in your life and mine. He made that payment, and the Father accepted it, and we know that's true because He's not dead anymore. He's risen. He's back where he came from, ascended to heavenly glory. And he has a job to do at the moment. Right now, your Savior is in the position of your most powerful ally in the highest of places. He will act as your lawyer in God's court. With each new sin taking place in your life, he has the ear of the Father. He pleads your case. He causes that judge, who is supreme, to echo the same verdict. They're still justified. You're still forgiven. That, by the way, is the greatest security you could possibly have. Security from condemnation. The security of knowing that all your sins are forgiven because of Christ. If you have that, then everything else falls into place, good times or bad times. That is precisely what verse 32 means, even though it's worded as a question. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I feel pretty good about saying this. I think everyone in this room has a good sense, or something of a sense, of what Jesus had to endure on the cross. We all have this mental image of how horrible crucifixion was. What about the Father? What did God the Father have to endure on that dark Friday? The one who loved his Son perfectly. He had to treat Jesus the opposite way, like his own enemy, pouring out all of his anger on our sins against his beloved Son, which really meant abandoning Jesus to the point that the Lord cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That must have been hard for both the Father and the Son. Now, I want you to think about the implications. What verse 32 is leading you to conclude. If God did this hard thing of taking away your sins by not sparing his Son, won't he do the easier, smaller things, like providing what we need in life, keeping us safe and secure? Yeah, you would think so. Actually, the passage is stronger than that. God wants you to assume, on the basis of the sacrifice of his Son, that it is impossible. It is impossible for God and his Son not to give us all things. Now that sounds like a deal. What can we expect? What are the guarantees from God now? It can't be life with no pain and suffering, no sickness or accidents. In fact, in a verse coming after what I read at the beginning, Paul mentions quite a list of negative things. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, peril, sword. Believers back then and believers today have had to experience one or more of these negative things. But this same God has said in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You know that all things means the bad things too, right? They have to eventually lead to our blessing. If not soon, then at the very end. So, when the Lord allows you to come to that crisis in life, that painful, distressing thing, you have a way to deal with it. What Pastor Tiefel reminded us of this weekend. Take it up with God in prayer. And he may choose to give exactly what you ask. Healing, recovery, protection, provision. And if the answer seems to be no, well, then he wants you to cling to the fact that he still loves you the same. The cross of Jesus proves it. And because of that cross, he still forgives you to the same degree, everything forgiven. And he wants you to reach out and hold on to this promise of all things, which means life with God that never ends, where all things are good and right, nothing bad is there. That's your guarantee from the God who loves you and sent His Son as your security. Security from heaven, in heaven, and of heaven. Amen. Open up the worship supplement to hymn 737. We sing stanzas 2 and 3 of 737. 2 and 3.